the Supernova Sagittarii expedition comprised 50 human beings and a flame. It went the long way around from Earth orbit, stopping at Epsilon Leary to pick up the last member. Thence, it approached its destination by stages. This is the paradox. Time and space are aspects of each other. The explosion was more than 100 years past when noted by men on Last Hope. They were part of a generations-long effort to fathom the civilization of creatures altogether unlike us. But one night they looked up and saw a light so brilliant it cast shadows. That wavefront would reach Earth several centuries hence. By then it would be so tenuous that nothing but another bright point would appear in the sky. Meanwhile, though, a ship overleaping the space through which the light must creep could track the great star's death across time. Suitably far off, instruments recorded what had been before the outburst. Incandescence collapsing upon itself after the last nuclear fuel was burned out. A jump, and they saw what happened a century ago. Convulsions, storm of quanta and neutrinos, radiation equal to the massed 100 billion suns of this galaxy. It faded, leaving an emptiness in heaven. And the raven moved closer. 50 light-years. 50 years. Inward, she studied a shrinking fieriness in the midst of a fog which shone like lightning. 25 years later, the central globe had dwindled more, the nebula had expanded and dimmed. But because the distance was now so much less, everything seemed larger and brighter. The naked eye saw a dazzle too fierce to look straight at, making the constellations pale by contrast. Telescopes showed a blue-white spark in the heart of an opalescent cloud, delicately filamented at the edges. The raven made her final jump to the immediate neighborhood of the supernova. Captain Theodore Sizilli went on a last-minute inspection tour. The ship murmured around him, running at 1 gravity of acceleration to reach the desired intrinsic velocity. Power droned, regulators whickered, ventilation systems rustled. He felt the energies quiver in his bones, but metal surrounded him, blank and comfortless. Viewports gave on a dragon's horde of stars, the ghostly arch of the Milky Way, on vacuum, cosmic rays, cold, not far from absolute zero, distance beyond imagination to the nearest human hearth fire. He was about to take his people where none had ever been before, into conditions none was sure about, and that was a heavy burden on him. He found Eloise Wagoner at her post, a cubbyhole with intercom connections directly to the command bridge. Music drew him, a triumphant serenity he did not recognize. Stopping in the doorway, he saw her seated with a small tape machine on the desk. "What's this?" he demanded. "Oh!" The woman, he could not think of her as a girl, though she was barely out of her teens, started. "I was waiting for the jump."
"You were to wait at the alert."
"What have I to do?" she answered less timidly than her wont. "I mean, I'm not a crewman or a scientist."
"You are in the crew. Special communications technician."
"With Lucifer. And he likes the music. He says we come closer to oneness with it than in anything else he knows about us."
Sizilli arched his brows. "Oneness?" A blush went up Eloise's thin cheeks. She stared at the deck, and her hands twisted together.
"Maybe that isn't the right word. Peace, harmony, unity. God? I sense what he means, but we haven't any word that fits."
Well, you are supposed to keep him happy." The skipper regarded her with a return of the distaste he had tried to suppress. She was a decent enough sort, he supposed, in her gauche and inhibited way. But her looks... scrawny, big-footed, big-nosed, pop-eyes, and stringy, dust-colored hair. And to be sure, telepaths always made him uncomfortable. She said she could only read Lucifer's mind, but was that true? No, don't think such things. Loneliness and otherness can come near breaking you out here, without adding suspicion of your fellows. If Eloise Wagoner was really human, she must be some kind of mutant at the very least. Whoever could communicate thought to thought with a living vortex had to be.
"What are you playing, anyhow?" Sizilli asked. "Bach, the 3rd Brandenburg Concerto. Lucifer, he doesn't care for the modern stuff. I don't either."
"You wouldn't," Fazili decided. Aloud, "Listen, we jump in half an hour. No telling what we'll emerge in. This is the first time anyone's been close to a recent supernova. We can only be certain of enough hard radiation that we'll be dead if the screen fields give way. Otherwise, we've nothing to go on except theory. And a collapsing stellar core is so unlike anything anywhere else in the universe that I'm skeptical about how good the theory is. We can't sit daydreaming. We have to prepare." "Yes, sir." Whispering, her voice lost its usual harshness. He stared past her, past the ophidian eyes of meters and controls, as if he could penetrate the steel beyond and look straight into space. There, he knew, floated Lucifer. The image grew in him. A fireball 20 meters across, shimmering white, red, gold, royal blue, flames dancing like Medusa locks, cometary tail burning for 100 meters behind, a shiningness, a glory, a piece of hell. Not the least of what troubled him was the thought of that which paced his ship. He hugged scientific explanations to his breast, though they were little better than guesses. In the multiple star system of Epsilon Argi, in the gas and energy pervading the space around, things took place which no laboratory could imitate. Ball lightning on a planet was perhaps analogous, as the formation of simple organic compounds in a primordial ocean is analogous to the life which finally evolves. In Epsilon Argi, magnetohydrodynamics had done what chemistry did on Earth. Stable plasma vortices had appeared, had grown, had added complexity, until after millions of years they became something you must needs call an organism. It was a form of ions, nuclei, and force fields. It metabolized electrons, nucleons, X-rays. It maintained its configuration for a long lifetime. It reproduced. It thought. But what did it think? The few telepaths who could communicate with the Argurians, who had first made humankind aware that the Argurians existed, never explained clearly. They were a queer lot themselves. Wherefore, Captain Cezilli said, "I want you to pass this on to him." "Yes, sir." Eloise turned down the volume on her taper, her eyes unfocused. Through her ears went words, and her brain, how efficient a transducer was it, passed the meanings on out to him who loped alongside Raven on his own reaction drive. "Listen, Lucifer, you've heard this before, I know, but I want to be positive you understand in full. Your psychology must be very foreign to ours. Why'd you agree to come with us?" "I don't know. Technician Wagoner said you were curious and adventurous. Is that the whole truth?" "No matter. In half an hour we jump. We'll come within 500 million kilometers of the supernova. That's where your work begins. You can go where we dare not. Observe what we can't. Tell us more than our instruments could ever hint at. But first we have to verify that we can stay in orbit around the star. This concerns you too. Dead men can't transport you home again. So in order to enclose you within the jump field without disrupting your body, we have to switch off the shield screens. We'll emerge in a lethal radiation zone. You must promptly retreat from the ship, because we'll start the screen generator up 60 seconds after transit. Then you must investigate the vicinity. The hazards to look for," Cezilli listed them. "Those are only what we can foresee. Perhaps we'll hit other garbage we haven't predicted. If anything seems like a menace, return at once, warn us, and prepare for a jump back to here. Do you have that? Repeat." Words jerked from Eloise. They were a correct recital. But how much was she leaving out? "Very good." Cezilli hesitated. "Proceed with your concert if you like, but break it off at 0-10 minutes and stand by." "Yes, sir." She didn't look at him. She didn't appear to be looking anywhere in particular. His footsteps clanked down the corridor and were lost.
"Why did he say those things over?"
asked Lucifer. "He's afraid," Eloise said.
"Mm-hmm."
"I guess you don't know about fear," she said.
"Can you show me?" No, do not. I sense it is hurtful. You must not be hurt."
"I can't be afraid anyway, when your mind is holding mine." Warmth filled her. Merriment was there, playing like little flames over the surface of father leading her by the hand when she was just a child and they went out one summer's day to pick up wild flowers, over strength and gentleness and Bach and God. Lucifer swept around the hall in an exuberant curve, sparks danced in his wake.
Think flowers again, please.
She tried.
They are lights.
Image, as nearly as a human brain could grasp, of fountains blossoming with gamma-ray colors in the middle of light, everywhere light.
But so tiny, so brief a sweetness.
I don't understand how you can understand, she whispered.
You understand for me. I did not have that kind of thing to love before you came.
But you have so much else. I try to share it, but I'm not made to realize what a star is.
Nor I for planets. Yet ourselves may touch.
Her cheeks burned anew. The thought rolled on, interweaving its counterpoint to the marching music.
That is why I came. Do you know? For you, I am fire and air. I had not tasted the coolness of water, the patience of earth, until you showed me. You are moonlight on an ocean.
No, don't, she said. Please. Puzzlement.
Why not? Does joy hurt? Are you not used to it?
I guess that's right. She flung her head back.
No! Be damned if I'll feel sorry for myself.
Why should you? Have we not all reality to be in? And is it not full of suns and songs?
Yes, to you. Teach me.
If you in turn will teach me.
The thought broke off, a contact remained, unspeaking, such as she imagined must often prevail among lovers. She glowered at Motili Almazunder's chocolate face, where the physicist stood at the doorway. What do you want? Only to see if everything is well with you, Miss Wagner. She bit her lip. He had tried harder than most aboard to be kind to her. I'm sorry, she said. I didn't mean to bark at you. Nerves. We are everyone. On edge. He smiled. Exciting though this venture is, it will be good to come home, correct? Home, she thought. Four walls of an apartment above a banging city, books and television. She might present a paper at the next scientific meeting, but no one would invite her to the parties afterward. Am I that horrible? She wondered. I know I'm not anything to look at, but I try to be nice and interesting. Maybe I'd try too hard.
Maybe not with me,
Lucifer said. You're different, she told him. Mazunder blinked. Beg pardon?
Nothing,
she said in haste. I have wondered about an item, Mazunder said in an effort at conversation. Presumably Lucifer will go quite near the supernova. Can you still maintain contact with him? The time dilation effect, that will not change the frequency of his thoughts too much? What time dilation? She forced a chuckle. I'm no physicist, only a little librarian who turned out to have a wild talent. You were not told? Why, I assumed everybody was. An intense gravitational field affects time just as a high velocity does. Roughly speaking, processes take place more slowly than they do in clear space. That's why light from a massive star is somewhat reddened. And our supernova core retains almost three solar masses. Furthermore, it has acquired such a density that its attraction at the surface is, incredibly high. Thus, by our clocks, it will take an infinite time to shrink to the Schwarzschild radius. But an observer on the star itself would experience the whole shrinkage in a fairly short period.
Schwarzschild radius? Please explain.
Eloise realized that Lucifer had spoken through her. If I can, without mathematics. You see, this mass we are to study is so great and so concentrated that no force exceeds the gravitational. Nothing can counterbalance. Therefore, the process will continue until no energy can escape. The star will have vanished out of our universe. In fact, theoretically, the contraction will proceed to the zero volume. Of course, as I said, that will take forever as far as we're concerned. And the theory neglects quantum mechanical considerations, which come into play toward the end, but these are still not very well understood. I hope from this expedition to acquire more knowledge. Mazunder shrugged. At any rate, Miss Wagner, I was wondering if the frequency shift involved would not prevent our friend from communicating with us when he is near the star. I doubt that. Still, Lucifer spoke. She was his instrument, and never had she known how good it was to be used by one who cared. Telepathy is not a wave phenomenon. Since it transmits instantaneously, it cannot be. Nor does it appear limited by distance. Rather, it is a resonance. Being attuned, we too may well be able to continue this across the entire breadth of the cosmos. And I am not aware of any material phenomenon which could interfere. I see. Mazunder gave her a long look. Thank you, he said uncomfortably. I must get to my own station. Good luck. He bustled off without stopping for an answer. Eloise didn't notice. Her mind was become a torch in a song.
Lucifer,
she cried aloud.
Is that true?
I believe so. My entire people are telepaths. Hence, we have more knowledge of such matters than yours do. Our experience leads us to think there is no limit.
You can always be with me? You always will?
If you so wish, I am gladdened.
The comet body curvetted and danced. The brain of fire laughed low.
Yes, Eloise, I would very much like to remain with you. No one else has ever...
Joy, joy, joy.
They named you better than they knew, Lucifer, she wanted to say, and perhaps they did. They thought it was a joke. They thought by calling you after the devil they could make you safely small like themselves. But Lucifer isn't the devil's name. It means only light-bearer. One Latin prayer even addresses Christ as Lucifer. Forgive me, God. I can't help remembering that. Do you mind? He isn't Christian, but I think he doesn't need to be. I think he must have never felt sin. Lucifer. Lucifer. She sent the music soaring for as long as she was permitted. The ship jumped. In one shift of worldline parameters, she crossed 25 light years to destruction.